This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And for those of you who haven't seen the updates in the Facebook group, we have been off air because first of all, we took a holiday break.
And yeah, we thought we took a holiday break.
We were really serious. We were like, we're really going to take this break. So we took a break. And then I got sick. I'm still sick. I've been sick since New Year's Eve. And so anyway, I'll try not to.
And just if anybody's curious, that hasn't been COVID sick, but she's taken 5,000 tests.
Well, I think everyone who is a longtime listener knows that we have taken COVID seriously.
Right.
We've taken precautions. And I don't mean this lightly. We respect our healthcare system. We want to keep it safe. But since I haven't gotten COVID and this has been so terrible, it means that I could still recover from this and still get COVID.
Right, that's exactly what it means.
Gosh darn it.
Because they have been respiratory type symptoms.
Yeah. It's been, I think, quite COVID-y, but you know, that changes a lot.
Everybody has different symptoms.
I can recover from this disease and then I can get COVID.
Yeah, you can still get COVID.
Anyway,
right.
I don't mean that lightly. It's if anybody's able to joke a little bit about the pandemic, I hope we're all able to make a little bit of a joke about it. Anywho, the microphones still work. Talking to your microphone. Make sure.
Yes, they do.
Okay, the microphones
now,
work.
Now, here's the other thing. I don't know what we're talking about. Mallory hasn't clued me in on anything.
Well, ZD, have you ever made a wedding veil?
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Well, you better be ready to talk because you can hear. I'm still not.
She can start out strong with her voice and then there's an inflammation there that all of a sudden she's like,
Yeah, exactly.
So she can do high little funny notes sometimes.
You know, I really should be speaking like this anyway.
She should be using your head voice.
Have you ever made a wedding veil?
One or two or three or 100.
Yeah, in fact. Yeah. So my good friend Jordan, who is part of the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group, she actually posted in there like asking for alterations, recommendations for a wedding dress. She lives in Texas. She's getting married. And we said we'd do her veil. A veil is a place in your, if you're getting married, if a friend is getting married and they want a veil, this is a place where you can save some money by sewing for yourself.
Right. Having been employed by a major.
You can say you work
bridal
there.
Bridal retailer.
There's no,
yeah.
I don't think.
they make a lot of money off of veils. Okay. And, you know, I think that's fine. I mean, I'm not criticizing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because sometimes they actually make very little off of a dress.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they have to make, so they're making, you know, sometimes a bigger margin on accessories.
Right.
So anyway, I was making veils before I worked for that company, which was David's Bridal. I started to say operations manager. Jeez, alterations manager.
If you are writing a resume, that is what you should put. Okay. Operations manager.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be hired anywhere, okay? So anyway.
they call that Rev Ops now, just
yes,
so you know.
Okay, I did not know that. Know. But so anyway, I was making a lot of veils before this happened. And, of course, I, you know, drew from knowledge I had just about fabric in general. And then, actually, we have that veil book that is not published anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, we have a veil book. It was a paperback. And I bought it, I believe, in 1996 or 7, I think. And it was really nice because it did tell me some things that I was doing, I thought maybe more in a more difficult manner than I needed to. You know?
Yeah.
So it helped me. And then just looking at veils that were, retail made, made for retail and things like that. I got some ideas and I started developing sort of my own signature way of doing them, I guess.
Yeah.
And this is kind of funny because I haven't made a veil in probably what, Mallory? Six, 7 years maybe? Has it been that long? I don't know. It's been a while. I haven't made one since, we started the pandemic for sure.
Well, yeah, have you made one since we started the podcast?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Maybe I have. I know that I have done some bridal alterations since we started the podcast. But, I was limiting that to sort of like people I knew and,
Right, right.
Most of the time it wasn't even people I was charging for it. So I really don't know how long.
It's been a minute.
It's been years, I'd say.
Yeah.
And, of course, we still have some supplies to do that with.
Some supplies.
Right.
Bolts of tulle.
Right.
How many combs were in that little pencil box?
Oh,
15.
It's right there.
It's right next to me.
I would say more like two dozen.
These pencil boxes.
We like pencil boxes, the plastic pencil.
Do we have a lot of them? Okay, so we have combs.
So the combs are for the combs to put in the hair that hold the veil in onto the head.
And right? I'll say, okay, we said they can be a cost-effective way. I think it does depend on, the type of veil you're doing. If you want some kind of, super-duper lace-edged, intricate veil.
I'm saying if you make it yourself.
Right.
I mean, a simple, maybe a cathedral lace veil could cost a couple $100s.
Right.
And it might not even have a lot of embellishment, but it costs a couple $100s, and the tool that you would buy for that might cost 10.
Right, exactly.
You do have to put it on comb, figure out how to fix it to the head and, cut it or whatever. But, there's a simple way to make a veil.
Right.
Which is just cut the edge, and that's a veil.
Yes.
If you cut the proper shape and put it on a comb, or some people will put it on a headband or some other kind of things. I almost always put it on a comb so that the veil can be taken off.
Let's talk a little bit about fabrics. So combs, ZD's using plastic hair combs. I bet you can get
there's a plastic hair comb and there is a metal hair comb, of course.
Okay. Yeah, I bet nowadays, I'll look up on my phone while you're talking, but I bet you can get these plastic combs on Amazon.
I bet you can.
How many
are there? 20?
Yeah, I didn't count. So talk a little bit.
I mean, I ordered those obviously from somewhere.
Right, right. But I think it was before.
Right.
It was in
people
times.
Will have preferences whether they want... And I say people, I say makers will have preferences of whether they want a plastic hair comb, or a metal one. And these combs are also clear, so they
these
have no
clear.
Color.
Yeah,
okay?
These are clear.
Obviously, you can go to Walmart or Target or some store or a beauty supply, and you can buy any large comb that would hold a veil. Measure that, Mallory, and see how long that is.
That's what I'm looking at. We've got a couple different sizes here, but the big one.
The big standard one. I'd say it's 4 inches, but...
I think that's about right. But here, on Amazon, I'm looking at a listing. I just wanted to give an idea. This is $5.99 a comb? I can't believe that. No.
I was going to say, whoa.
It's $5.99 for 12 pieces, which is... That doesn't surprise me that is kind of what they're going
right.
for now.
And we have used these combs for other things in, head dressings for costumes and things like this. But this is the one that I sort of consider my veil comb.
Yeah, it's a 4-inch comb. So you got these 4-inch clear combs.
Right.
You want to talk about fabrics at all? Right. Can we start there?
I do want to say something more about the combs.
Okay.
Some people will want to put these on a barrette, and they think that they will hold better and all that. The problem with putting a veil on a barrette, now, I'm not saying don't put it on a, you know, there are instances where you may want to.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is in a wedding reception type of situation, once you put a barrette in the hair, you start messing with the hair and the hairdo. Right?
Yeah.
So when you have to take it out, then, you know, with the comb, generally the comb will hold it. You might have to put a few more pins, you know, over the comb or into the comb to hold it. But generally, that has been the best for me.
So before we talk about fabrics, I guess I'll just say with Jordan, with this particular one, she wants the veil for the ceremony. It's not going over her face.
Right.
It's just, you know, from her head to her, you know, elbows.
When it goes over your face, it's called a blusher.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, the blusher can be the same length as the veil, or it can be shorter than the veil. Okay.
Yeah, so this is just going kind of like into her hairstyle, going down her back, and she does want to take it off for the reception.
Right.
So that's something we had to kind of
And a lot of people do want to take it off for the reception because it gets in the way.
Right.
Okay,
right.
You know, it's you know, all of a sudden, so, you know, it's flying around. You know, it's hard to control.
Right, right.
Okay, you know, it can get in your food. It can get in someone else's food. Somebody accidentally gets it hooked on a piece of jewelry.
Right.
I mean, they really are kind of hazardous. I mean, nobody gets hurt by them, but they get in the way. And, you know, but it's a, you know, it is a beautiful thing for a bride to wear. I do like, you know, sometimes it will just complete what the bride is wearing sometimes.
I think for her dress, too, like, it's like, full length,
right.
It's lacy, there's a big train, all this.
It's a bit of a princessy looking dress.
Yeah, I didn't have a veil.
Mallory did not have a veil. Hillary had a veil. It went very low on her head.
Yeah.
We said she had the Pantene hairdo.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She had all this hair and it was all piled up like in this big wad on top of her head, like sort of like a basket of eggs, I'd say, or something. And it was at the base of that. And it
where
just
the veil
came,
went. Yeah.
Right, and it just came from there. And I think hers was just at, like, elbow length or something.
Yeah, so Jordan has, like, lots of hair like Hillary.
Right.
She, though, I think is doing more like a half up.
Yeah, I think
But
she...
these combs, these real simple
right.
plastic 4-inch combs, you know, the teeth are wide enough where... it's like they can slip into the hairdo
right.
and probably come out of the hairdo.
Right.
Everything
and Hillary
looking okay.
had like a tiara
yeah.
that she wore. So she took the veil off, left the tiara on.
She gets yeah.
Right.
Jordan is going to have these little pearl.
Throughout the hair?
It's like a couple kind of decorative. They're not barrettes. They're
uh-huh.
like pins. But she sent them to me and she said, you know, can the veil kind of like be draped over these and then be taken
sure.
off? And I was like, yeah, I
yeah.
think as long as there's kind of like this insertion
you'll
point
see
for the
people
comb.
Just put like maybe little rhinestones in their hair or something. Or
yeah.
Actually, some people like glued them in.
Right.
and so generally, I have made... But the majority of the veils I have made out of a tool, and it is a bridal tool, a very fine bridal tool. So there's different types of tool.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So tool, T-U-L-L-E,
mm-hmm.
okay, because even though I knew what Mom was talking about, she was like, I think I have the right tool
okay.
for this.
So,
I was like, what kind of
Mallory
tool do you
to
need to make
down,
a veil?
Mallory comes over, you know, down and says, we have to make Jordan's veil. And I said, fine, what color is her dress? Because we have the tool to find out, you know, what. So here's the other thing is how wide does she want it? So what it means is it's not how, obviously it's going to be 4 inches wide when it's on this comb, but there are different widths of tool. So you get different volumes. It turns into a different volume.
Yeah. And
okay.
I think the thing I see, what can make a veil look cheap.
Right.
And I don't want to say this 100% of the time because you could like this look and
right.
it could look good. But I think I've seen people get disappointed in a veil that isn't as full as they would like
or it just kind of looks flat.
You
know,
gave right. the advice in our home deck episode
uh-huh.
to make curtains be twice
right.
the width.
Two and a half times.
Two and a half. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I just saw a TikTok that's like tips to make you look rich. And it's like put more. It's like put two
put
and a half
another
times.
Panel
the,
of,
put another
of,
panel
yeah.
of curtains.
Buy extra panels of curtains. Right.
So I'm not saying that every veil has to be super duper gathered or
no,
anything like
I've
that.
No, and I've made
but.
Veils that were. What is that netting called? You know what I'm talking about. The real heavy, the thick-looking netting with... you put a, you know, it was a milliner's type netting.
Well, it's not
so
buckram.
That so it wasn't a veil that went down the back.
No,
you know, like
no,
this
yeah.
or something. You know, it was very different. In fact, that wedding dress that I made with the big roses on it.
Yeah,
that's what she had. It was just like it was the veil was just like on her.
Sure,
hair.
It was a little bit more of like
it
a fascinator. Yeah, kind of deal.
Yeah, something like that. You know, sort of like this little headdress on her.
Yeah,
hair.
Yeah, yeah.
But it had the veiling in it or uh-huh. whatever, the netting or whatever netting. It yeah. was called. I think I used to call that something specific.
Well, and we are saying bridal tulle. Okay, mm-hmm. and it's a little lighter weight. Now, of course, if you go back in time a little bit, there are people with some poofy, stiff veils, you know, in mm-hmm. certain
the
decades, 80s. Right? Exactly.
Go back to the 80s, so, and it is a lot of, yeah.
So if you are having an 80s wedding, you know, you can go for that stiffer stuff, but if you are sort of looking for this contemporary look where it's tulle, it's a bit stiff of a fabric, mm-hmm. you know, bridal tulle is a thing that you
right,
can go,
right.
you can go to a fabric store or search online,
right.
bridal tulle.
So generally you make the veil is a certain length, and they have different names, different place, chapel length, you know.
Yeah,
cathedral
fingertip,
length, trail blah, blah, blah. Fingertip, you know, elbow length, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can make the veil any length that the bride wishes it to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Jordan wants to make sure, like, her dress is very open in the back and her back looks beautiful. But in the church, she wants her back covered.
Well, and that's another thing. So the back on her dress is really low. And for me and for Jordan, we're looking at, like, okay, we want this veil to be below the back
right,
line.
Right,
because
you don't
you
want,
know?
I mean, what she's not wanting is like all these different lines down
exactly.
her back where, you know, here's her shoulder and then it stops and then here's part of her back and then here's part
yeah,
of the dress.
Yeah, so if you've got this dress with a slow back, exactly, it would look kind of, it might look silly
right.
if you choose to make the veil cut halfway across where your back is bare.
Okay. Right.
So one thing here, you're saying start with the length. So I think that's like a really good
right.
thing to start with. And it can be whatever length you want.
Right. And what happens here is then you are confined by the width of the fabric
yeah.
because you don't want a seam in your veil.
Probably
right?
not.
You probably don't want a seam in your veil.
Good call. So does bridal tulle come in different widths?
Yes. Yeah. And we have it here. And one of them is like 120 inches wide.
Yeah. Or 108 or something like that.
Something like that. It's over 100, I believe. And I think the other just 60 or something? Or maybe it's 80. I don't know. We may have to measure that, but I have them there. I used to know all
yeah,
this
we've
stuff.
Yeah, like, we've right got a couple different widths.
Right. So you want to, you know, check that out and how full do you want to make it and what do you think? Now, think about this. All of this over 100 inches is going to be gathered up in about 4 inches. So it's really gathers.
1/25th of
it
the.
It really,
yeah.
really gathers. Okay?
It really does gather.
And it
oh,
gathers
yeah.
easily. Okay, uh-huh. This is not a hard thing to do. It gathers quite easily. Okay, then the next thing is what color?
Mm-hmm.
And there's white and there's, you know, the off-white, which people will refer to as many colors. You know, beige, off-white, ivory, whatever, you know.
I'm looking at some tulle on
right.
Vogue Fabrics. Mm-hmm. They've got some 108 inch wide.
Okay.
And, you know, here's another term you'll come up against, illusion.
Yes.
The illusion,
and it's,
lightweight
it's
tulle.
It's called illusion because it's a very fine, well, yeah, and, you know, it goes over the bride's face, it's gathered, but you can still see the bride's,
and
you know,
sometimes this illusion stuff, we did this on my wedding dress, we used it as a base for lace. So right now we're talking about this illusion tulle as being used for a bridal veil, but it's used for other things, and it's meant to be sheer over the skin sometimes. So on this Vogue Fabrics page, we're seeing white, ivory, black, brown sugar.
So you may find, you know, bridal illusion in all these colors.
Yes.
Now the bride may want another color. You know, there are people that want pink veils or blue veils.
Can you? What can you do?
You can dye it.
What can you do?
You can dye it. There's no guarantee what color it will look like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, they're generally nylon, okay? So they dye easily. you know, it can be hard if somebody wants it a color. There are other tools that come in colors. They will not be the bridal illusion. They will be a stiffer.
You know, I would just say if my friend wanted a purple mm-hmm. veil, okay, mm-hmm. I would order, first of all, this stuff is $7.99 a yard.
And Bridal Illusion?
It's Bridal Illusion. It's 108, wow. 8 inches wide.
Got more expensive.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still really reasonable, yeah. right? $8 a yard.
I think it used to be $1.20, but like I said, it's been a while.
Jordan is a tall person. She's right. having this from like middle of her head to her elbows, and she's saying like 25 inches long.
Right.
So that's under a yard.
Right.
If Jordan wanted a purple veil, you know what mm-hmm. I would do? And I think you would tell me to do this.
Right.
I'd order like 5 yards of tulle.
Right, and dye it.
I'd dye each of them yep. a different, put them in the purple dye for each for different amounts of time.
And that's what I would
and
do.
And then I would say, Jordan, pick your purple
right.
and then make her veil.
That's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
And honestly, you probably don't want it too dark anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I mean, people be doing crazy things
right.
with their veils.
Yeah, and people might want a rainbow veil.
Right.
You know, so
exactly.
People may want anything. They might want sparkle veil. Now, the illusion does generally come with a white and a ivory that is like
yeah,
a sparkle.
Yeah, a sparkle illusion.
Are we using sparkle for her? I don't think
I can't
so.
Remember.
I don't think we are. Her dress is white and ivory. Okay. It looks like it has sort of an ivory background
well, it has
and a whiter
sheer panel. So like yeah. it's kinda like her skin color comes through too. So
yeah.
I feel like we have a lot of flexibility with the
right.
white versus ivory.
So we
ivory.
Are using something that's not pure white because she also wanted a specific trim on it, and that we're putting on is white. But it's not white either. You know, I mean there is, you know, white is a spectrum.
Exactly, right. exactly. Well, let's take a break. And come back and talk a little bit about more fabric options and what that means for finishing. Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
So we've talked about the tools, right?
Right.
Now, that's not the only thing that veils can be made out of.
Right.
I've made lace veils, so out of lace yardage.
Right.
Okay. I made a veil. It was a remake of a dress, and this bride, her sister-in-law had worn the dress, and then her sister wore the dress, and Her mother wore the dress, then her aunt wore the dress, And then she was wearing the dress.
All right.
So it was her mother's dress. Yeah. Okay. And it had like this train thing, skirty thing that came on off and on, right?
Yeah.
And she said, can this be a veil? And I said, yeah, it can. And so we made her more like a mantilla, if anybody knows what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not gathered at all. The lace sort of just lays on your head.
Okay.
You know, and frames your face. So, you know, that was her veil. That's what she, and it was great because it matched the dress perfectly and the dress had aged. I'm sure it wasn't the same color that it had always been. But it turned out she loved it.
Yeah.
And she did take it off for the reception, okay, because it was really kind of heavy. So a lace veil can get kind of heavy. Okay. So the next person, the next veil I'm thinking about, and I'm there are always more options than this, is for a while I was really into making a silk crepe veil. Okay.
Chiffon or crepe?
Oh, I'm sorry, chiffon.
Okay, I was
I'm sorry.
yeah. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, you're here to correct me. Okay, so, and silk chiffon is truly like a cloud.
Yeah, no, it's okay, really
that
pretty.
The feel is amazing really pretty. And all this.
Really pretty.
And this was actually a bride who had worn a lot of costumes. She had been on Broadway, okay? And she says,
I thought you were going to be like, this was the bride. Who'd worn a lot of wedding dresses?
She probably had.
No, I know.
Yes, she probably had. This was Melissa,
yeah,
right?
I know. Yeah.
And at the time, I had made, I don't know, about four or five veils like this. And she picked a dress that was very slender. It was lace all over, you know, but it was very plain.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was an all-over lace, and it was strapless and very plain. And she said, I just don't think I want a veil.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I have an idea. And she's a small person.
Short.
She's
very
like,
petite.
Like a 5 foot one person, yeah. Not very big or anything, kind of a tiny person. And I said, I think I have an idea that you might like. I'm going to make you a silk chiffon veil. Now, the silk chiffon is only 60 inches wide.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not a real gathered veil. And I said, it's going to also be your train. And so she had no train on this dress, okay? But she was getting married in a church. And it was a big wedding. And I just kind of felt like she would get lost, maybe, in this whole scene. Do you know what I mean? If she didn't have something that said, bride.
Yeah, or it would just make a really big impression in this
environment. Yeah, I didn't want... Yeah, I mean, obviously, she makes a big impression wherever she goes, but I don't know. I just wanted to make sure she was showcased properly.
Well, I just will say, I mean, wedding dresses are costumes the way we do things nowadays.
That's right.
And in a lot of cultures and places, but, you know, the way the weddings I've encountered... You can get such a variance in like venue size.
That's right.
And how people are looking at you. And Jordan is having like a Catholic ceremony. So she had to like, she's like, oh, I got to make sure I can kneel in this dress.
Right.
I got to make sure I can do this in this dress. Or how's the veil going to work when I sit down?
Oftentimes the bride will buy the dress and that will determine the flavor of the venue.
Or they're like, okay, well, I bought this dress. Right. Got to make sure to have an aisle that's so and so wide.
That's right.
You know.
Absolutely. Or I'm getting married in a barn, so I don't want this to look
sure.
You know, my fiance is wearing cowboy boots and a western shirt.
I have to wear snowshoes,
I'm wearing boots too. I've had a lot of brides in all kinds of boots.
So the veil can be a really, I just want to say, like a fun thing to do a lot of different compliment the dress, compliment the venue, compliment the bride, you know, etc.
And or you, so anyway, I said to her, I will make you a veil. I want to make you a silk chiffon veil, and it will be my gift to you, and you do not have to wear it if you do not want it.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it worked.
Yeah.
You know, and it just trailed on the floor, you know, just a little bit that when she walked up, she got that look of it following her. And it was light, and it was easy, and she took it off. You know, as soon as the ceremony, pictures and ceremony was, you know, or pictures of the ceremony and the ceremony were over. You know, she, well, it rang at her outside reception, so she did have it off. But anyway, So she was very, very happy with that. And, you know, her only idea of a veil at the time was one that would have been tulle or illusion.
Yeah, sure.
So she didn't have the idea of this veil.
Yeah.
So anyway, that worked for her. What do we want to talk about next?
Well, I just want to, you know, I think what we're going to, let's talk about the shape of these veils.
Okay.
This might be a two-part podcast. I didn't expect it to be, but here we are. So choosing the length, on Jordan's veil, she kind of wants just like your typical, I don't know.
Fairly traditional looking.
Yeah, fairly traditional veil shape. So how we are determining this is we asked her to measure. Now there are like some standards out there.
There are. You know, like you can order a veil and it's this length or this length or this length.
So if, yeah.
The issue being, Jordan is at a standard height.
Right. No, the veil would be a different length on me
right.
than her.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you are going to make veils and sell them like on Etsy, and I was just looking on Etsy at veils, people will kind of put in like a 35 inch or 40 inch or, you know, whatever. And, you know, that would be a way to offer options to clients for sure. Just give them some standard lengths and or you can measure the bride. So we took the length and we're just cutting this big rectangle that is that length, right?
That's right.
And then we're going to round our corners.
Right. The corners that are at the bottom of the veil, not at the top where they're on the comb.
Good clarification.
Yeah, we'll
only round two out of the four corners of this rectangle.
Yeah, that's
how
it is.
So this will be 108 inches by, what'd she say, 21 to 25 inches,
I think
is what she said. So it's going
to
be like
it will be more than 25 inches. It will probably be about 26 or 27 because of the way we affix it to the comb. It will be flipping over the comb and being put in her hair.
Yeah. And when we say round the corners, we don't mean round them like with a penny or a Coke can.
No.
More like large
like a 10
dinner
inch,
plate.
12 inch circle. Yes.
So, yeah.
It's a very gradual curve.
Yes.
Okay. And if you think about it, if you've been to weddings where there's veil, you don't look up there and go, oh, they curved the veil.
You don't look
up
there.
You don't think of it that way.
And you don't. I get there are some veils like this.
Right.
I don't want to put my veil bias on anybody. Sorry. But, you know, there are veils out there where if they look very triangular.
Yes.
That is a rectangle.
Yes.
And they have not rounded
the
curve. So if you want it to be a little gentler where the impression is of sort of like a gathered oval.
Right.
Okay. Something like that. We're going to do that slow, gradual rounding.
Right.
Now, but we're not doing an oval.
Right.
Right. Okay. Now, that could be a choice for a different type of veil.
What I used to use, I believe, I still have it. We'll see. I don't know where it is. It was a round placemat.
Oh,
that
yeah, that's around here.
And it was about 14 inches.
It has a snowman on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was about 14 inches.
It's this big vinyl placemat that has a snowman on it.
That I used for,
it's adorable.
For a curve.
Yeah, it's a really nice... really nice curve.
I placed that, you know, on the inside, inside the corners of the veil, and I used what else?
A rotary cutter. Okay.
A very sharp,
And if you watched our series, our zigzag series on wedding dresses, you know that tulle can be hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
It can be difficult to work with. There are a few tips we share in there if you're having trouble.
Well, and the reason I liked this placemat was it was kind of rubbery on the back and it held the tulle.
Oh, like it.
Okay,
yeah.
And it had some weight to it, really.
Yeah. So it was kind of holding it down.
So, you know, instead of just like drawing a curve or whatever, this held it down.
Yeah.
So
we cut that. You're going to cut that curve in there.
Right.
And we're going to finish it. But let's not talk about that quite yet. You don't have to finish this veil, do you?
You do not. I will tell you two of the most simplest things is don't finish it. Just make sure it has a really nice cut to it, right? And then the other most simplest way, this will not ravel.
It's like a bonded netting, right? Like,
I don't know why it doesn't ravel because it's stretchy, too. Like,
but it's a netting.
Yes. And when you say bonded, I'm not sure that's the right answer. But anyway, it will not. You can pull on it, you know, you can barely tear it except when you're trying not to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So anyway, the other thing you can do is you can place it on your sewing machine, pick a, I would do a probably a 2.5 or 3 inch
millimeter length
stitch, match the thread to the color of the veil, and go around it at a quarter inch, and just you're just top stitching, and you just leave it like that.
Yeah,
and that's it. So what I'm saying is the edge of the veil is not finished. There's a stitching line a quarter inch inside the veil.
Yeah.
That would be the simplest way to do it.
So there is an option.
And I think that's a nice option.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And it's not like it's real obvious, but it's still there, you know. So, and the other thing that that is nice for is if you do have a blusher, you can find it.
Uh-huh.
So you can find the blusher, do you know what I mean, on the veil that it's sort of outlined. Sometimes it's really hard to find. If you pull the blusher over, sometimes it's hard to find it and separate it out.
Okay, so there are other finishing methods. I think we're going to talk about that in the next podcast, actually. But I just want to say we're going to finish Jordan's with some rat tail. Mm-hmm. A round ribbon, almost.
It's a cording.
A cord,
It's a satin cording.
A smooth satin cord. Beads, people do sometimes. And then there are fabrics, though, where you do have to finish it. You have to choose a finishing technique, right? Like the silk chiffon,
the silk chiffon.
Yeah. So you have to finish those.
Right. So I have made many a finish on the serger.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And a lot of rolled hems.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about the rolled hem is when somebody asks for a color, they're like, you know, they have a color in their dress or something, and they're like, I just don't want this to be white. You can finish the veil in a color.
Yeah. And
okay?
And
it's very subtle, but it's there. Okay? And that's often makes people very happy. They like that, okay?
I just want to say, I'm just doing a quick search here on Google. Silk chiffon, it's only 45 inches wide. Uh-huh. It's about $15 a yard.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Here's the other thing. Yeah. With the tool and the silk chiffon and you're making this, you can afford, and you should, buy enough to test.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, because if you're going to try something fancy on the sewing machine, you know, you want to be able to test this over and over again and make sure you have your settings right. You don't want to be frustrated. The other thing is we're going to talk about that you wrap the comb prior to sewing the veil on the comb. So you wrap it with
Need a little bit of tool for
with
that.
With tool. So you need a little extra.
And you need to test out these finishing techniques on a curve, too.
Yes.
So think about that. So if your veil's going to be going to have a curve to it, like we're talking about.
So in the 80s, the big thing was the fishing line.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, serger. So you got that curl, you know, you had that. That was big. They were putting that on the dress and on the sleeves.
Everywhere.
So, yeah, that was big. So you had that, you know, curvy.
So how did you, so a lot of your silk chiffon ones, you're saying you finished on the serger.
Most of them were just a three thread rolled hem because I wanted it very simple.
Right, right.
Okay. I have also used a three thread, you know, narrow hem. Because people just wanted that little bit of an edge.
Itty bitty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is also a good way to put like a sparkle in it. So a lot of these dresses, they're all white and everything, and then they have all these silver or gold sparkles or whatever. And so I would use a metallic thread. And a lot of times with the metallic thread, it honestly looked better, laid better with the three thread narrow than the three thread rolled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes I would do this for the bride. I'd
you
show
her some
three
samples,
or four
yeah.
finishes, right.
That's nice. Yeah. So depending on the – and then I just want to cover it with lace.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the lace, you might have the option to not finish, but you also might need to do that little zigzag treatment.
The other thing someone might want is a lace applique on their veil. Now, I had most of the time no problem just using a small zigzag and zigzagging them right onto the tool, and that wasn't much of a problem. A lot of people, this is the only thing I ever glued on a veil, would be if they wanted single pearls throughout it, or rhinestones or something like that. Some people will actually glue the beads on the edge of the veil. I say no. Just in handling, that tends to come off. It's also more difficult. You've got glue on your hands. Yeah. You got glue on this tool. It's like
long,
oh my
continuous
God,
thing.
Yes. And I, you know, I tried doing that one time for, when I tried doing it, it was for a costume. I thought, oh, I'll just glue this on while I'm here. You know, I think I was at the costume shop, honestly, and didn't have like my beading foot.
Right.
And, or piping foot or whatever I was using. And I was like, oh, forget this. I'm saving this for home.
It
was just so much easier to sew the string of beads on the serger for me.
I feel like we have done a really fair share of costuming. Mm-hmm. And we have used our fair share of glue.
Glue works, everybody.
I spent 30 hours making those freaking paper wigs out of glue.
And another thing is, you know, the veil only has to last for a couple hours.
But what I'm saying is, oftentimes I have found, and this could, if you're a costumer making a different type of thing, this could be wrong, not the right answer for you. But like, I have honestly found the sewing machine will give me like a better tool to
and
use
it's quicker
than glue.
A lot of times
it doesn't have to dry, and you know. Right. So, like I said, I've used glue. I made those paper wigs. I did sew the elastic.
Right.
Through them. You know, so it's not like I hate glue, but I think I really gravitate more toward the sewing machine or toward sewing things. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people even glue lace trim on a veil. And first of all, there is no glue that won't be stiff.
Okay. Yeah, right.
I mean, they can say it doesn't get stiff, but it's going to be stiffer than if you sewed it.
Right.
Can we move on from here? Because
I don't know.
The other thing I have done is, so a bride wants like a scalloped edge or some sort of decorative shaped edge or whatever. And I have done this, and I have used the decorative stitches on my sewing machine using, you know, the melt away.
Stabilizer
underneath it, so it's the stuff that looks sort of like saran wrap.
Okay, this is where we're getting into like, this doesn't save you money, because like I would charge $1 million.
This does
to
not
do
save
this.
You money, right? This is not something I offered anyone.
Right, right.
Okay,
no.
And so I went around all of this tool, you know, using embroidery thread.
Yeah.
Right. It was gorgeous. So I go around the tool. I stay an inch away from the cut edge. And then I go back and trim it down.
Boo.
It is a big job.
I mean,
I would do it for a daughter, okay? You know, our granddaughter. I'm not doing this for the public.
Well,
unless they want to pay.
Yeah, they're going
to. Several hundred dollars to do that.
That's
because
it
takes hours.
That's right.
And, you know, you're doing this decorative stitch and you have to sit there and you have to babysit it as you're doing it, and you have to go slow.
Well,
this is not something you can do quickly.
Right. So if you're looking at a simple veil, making it yourself save you some money, you know, for sure. But then if you are looking at something really intricate.
Just tell them it's impossible.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're looking at something you want for your wedding that's really intricate, just be prepared. Yeah, it could, you know, you could spend a pretty penny on it, you know.
But it's an option.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
It's something you can do.
You did that on the hem of Lindsay's prom dress, the decorative stitch that you cut away.
Yeah.
Really very beautiful. Mm-hmm. We've shown that before.
Right.
Which just stunning.
It was like a silk voil.
I feel like that would be a really pretty wedding veil finish if somebody wanted something like that.
And at least that was a big one.
Yes.
It was like a big 2-inch one, you know.
I don't know, though. That can be a little more intimidating in some ways.
Well,
you know?
It can going through the sewing machine in a sense. You're right. You're right.
And
that is exactly how I did that, is I did it with the melt away.
The other thing about finishing, I just want to bring up our curve again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what you're finishing with, you have to keep in mind, okay, if I'm going to finish with a lace trim, a lot of lace trim doesn't really go around curves super great.
Yes.
You have to make sure your curve is slow enough
right.
that the lace trim can, you know, kind of curve around without gathering anything up or flipping up or looking weird.
You have a lot of brides that say, I want this ribbon or I want this real wide ribbon. What they don't realize is it maybe isn't a ribbon.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of times it's a big satin bias piece.
That's right.
So they think it's a ribbon.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not.
Right.
Because if you did that, okay, it wouldn't make the curve.
Yes. So if you've got a curve to go around, you got to make sure your edging will go around a curve. So there, there's something to keep in
mind. Now, you can put ribbon on it, but it just can't be that wide.
Right.
You know, and it has to be a bit, so it I would say, you know, not more than a quarter inch of ribbon would I put on that curve.
Okay.
Without it looking funny.
I honestly think maybe we should stop here and talk next time about wrapping the comb and actually constructing
the
veil.
The construction of the veil.
Yeah, we're getting we're just getting a little long here. So,
well, I have something else besides construction that I want to talk about, and it's care of the veil.
Oh, great. Do you want to talk about that this time
Big
or next time?
Big red flashing letters. You tell the bride, do not iron. Okay? I can't tell you the emergency calls I get. Well, my aunt said that it was, you know, my veil was crumpled and she ironed it. They melt it. They melt it every time. They melt it no matter, even if they're using a
Pressing cloth. Yeah.
What happens is it somehow flies into the iron, the tool or something, you know. And, you know, I would be putting together a veil and running to a church or something, you know, to do
this. Well, and you just said the bridal illusion's nylon, right?
It is, and it melts, and it melts easy.
Melt quick.
So I would prepare the veil. I would steam it myself. You know, I would make sure that veil was in good shape. And then I would hang it in a dress bag.
Yeah.
You know, I would hang it on a clipped, you know, however I had so that it was hanging from the comb and it was hanging straight. And that's now some brides are getting married at a destination wedding. So you say to them, carry your veil on, you know, and a lot of times I would suggest that they like, you know, made a roll out of a towel and then rolled it onto there.
Oh, great idea.
Okay. So at least you didn't have like, horizontal crinkles in it.
Right.
You know, the crinkles might be
vertical.
At least they were vertical. When you get to your destination, the absolute first thing you are going to unwrap, right, is your veil, and you're going to hang it in the bathroom, and people are going to take showers, okay? Because the steam will release it.
I felt so proud of myself when we went to that wedding in Montana. We got there, and I said, Derek, get your suit out now.
Right.
You know, get
your clothes out.
Tucks
hang
out,
them up,
you know?
Get them in the bathroom, whatever you can do. If you have a steamer, yes, you can use a steamer. Now, if the steamer head does not get hot and it doesn't have metals, there are steamer heads that get hot.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be careful. But just tell them, do not iron it. It's not worth it. It's not, you know. And honestly, if there's one little wrinkle in it, nobody's going to see this.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the care is important, okay, of that veil in that sense. And it should have, you know, like its own little, you know, bag that it's in, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to do part two of the veils. We're going to talk about how we are wrapping the comb, doing Jordan's veil next week. So it's nice to be back, everybody. Thanks for waiting
now
on us.
Now that Mallory can speak again.
I mean, hopefully I haven't, like, lost my voice, you know. But, yeah. Nice to talk to you all. All right, ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.